Wholeness. There is truly nothing like our universe. Having no frame of reference outside of itself, there is nothing to compare it with. Our non-local universe's spooky action at a distance is an expression of the fundamental, indivisible wholeness of the universe, which is radically different from classical physics' previous conception of the universe as composed of separate parts. Thinking that the universe is made of composite parts is an abstraction from the real state of affairs. At the quantum level, there is a radically new notion of intrinsic unbroken wholeness, a seamless interconnectedness among all of the universe's seemingly separate parts. At the quantum level, the universe is one with itself. In a quantum universe, everything is related to everything else. At the moment of observation, the observer and the observed compose a single, unified whole. The quantum universe, as Bohr could not emphasize enough, can be properly conceived of only as an intricately interconnected, dynamic whole. In Buddhism, a beautiful image portrays this interconnectedness called Indra's net. In this image, the whole universe is represented by an infinitely interpenetrating net of glittering jewels. The gems are set at every knot on the net. Each jewel in the net reflects the light reflected in all of the other jewels. Each of those jewels, in turn, reflects the light from all of the jewels around them. And this multifaceted, mutually reflective process goes on forever into infinite space. Each of the jewels contains and reflects the radiance of the whole universe, which is to say that the whole universe can be seen reflected in each of its parts. On such a net, no jewel is in the center or at the edge, while, depending on our point of reference, the opposite is also true. Each and every jewel is at the center and at the edge. Each jewel can be conceived of as being an individual, localized spark of consciousness, which is simultaneously reflecting and being reflected by the whole universe. The polishing of any jewel in the net makes it more reflective, thereby enhancing the overall radiance of the whole net. This is to say that as each of us expands our conscious light of self-reflective awareness, the whole universe shines that much brighter. To quote David Bohm, "The inseparable quantum interconnectedness of the whole universe is the fundamental reality." An expression of this undivided wholeness, the fundamental reality, is that consciousness is no longer separated from matter, but somehow is essential to it. Consciousness is not one thing, and matter another thing that it interacts with. On the quantum level, consciousness and matter are indistinguishable. As Bohm points out, if we don't see this, it's because we are blinding ourselves to it. Later in his life, Bohm would use the analogy of trying to separate the north and south pole of a magnet to illustrate the impossibility of separating consciousness from matter. If we try to separate the north and south poles of a magnet by cutting the magnet in half, we simply generate a new north and south pole for each of the new halves. Bohm writes, "Thus we could come to the germ of a new notion of unbroken wholeness, in which consciousness is no longer to be fundamentally separated from matter." Just as Einstein's theory of relativity abolished the dichotomy of space and time, and modern psychosomatic medicine dissolved the distinction between mind and body, quantum physics undermines the final remnants of the traditional Cartesian dualism of matter and consciousness. After a health scare that included a supposedly near-death experience, Wheeler realized that the one thing in physics that he felt more responsible for than anything else was how everything fit together. In his last years, he was particularly interested in whether the mind was irrelevant to the structure of the universe or central to it. From the sound of it, Wheeler's brush with death refocused his attention on the big picture, that is, on what existence is all about. As science increasingly sheds light on the deeper intrinsic wholeness of the universe, it runs into its own edge, as science, by definition, can't define wholeness any more than mathematicians can define mathematically an empty set, or cosmologists can define the universe before its origins. Definition requires difference between at least two points of reference. Science can only deal in correlations between the behavior of parts. Science, to quote Robert Nadeau and Minas Kafatos, authors of The Conscious Universe, can say nothing about the actual character of the undissectable whole from which the parts are emergent phenomena. This whole is literally indescribable in the sense that any description, including those of ordinary language, divides the indivisible. Creating duality, in our example between the seeming opposites of matter and consciousness, out of something that is inherently seamlessly non-dual, is as impossible as trying to separate heat from a flame, wetness from water, or sweetness from sugar. Our attempts at bifurcating what is intrinsically one with itself is a project that not only is doomed to failure, but is at bottom an insane enterprise that is the generative root for the Wetiko mind virus. Bohm had strong faith that a proper understanding of the nature of matter could help bring human consciousness into order. Our universe is an emergent universe in which the whole is greater than the sum of any of its parts, and greater than any of its parts can even imagine. In the same vein, human beings are also emergent phenomena. Playing off the famous saying, less is more, Wheeler had a fondness for the expression, more is different. A substance made up of a great number of molecules, for example, has properties that no one molecule possesses. Its difference is qualitative rather than quantitative. An example is water, which is made up of two gases, hydrogen and oxygen. Neither hydrogen nor oxygen exists in a fluid state by itself, but when combined, the liquidness that emerges from their aggregation is an emergent property that arises from their mutual interaction, which neither of the separate parts contain in themselves. This is similar to how single letters of the alphabet lack the quality of poetry, but when arranged in a certain way, can have undreamed-of effects. At the holistic level of quantum reality, relationship creates identity. To try to understand the whole system by studying its seemingly discrete constituents apart from one another only leads so far. In quantum reality, relationship is truly creative. Similar to a hologram, where every part contains an image of the whole even when divided, in each part of the quantum system, the whole is encoded. Due to the holistic, indivisible, and holographic nature of the quantum realm, in which the whole is implicitly encoded in each of its seemingly separate parts, by focusing on a seemingly partial aspect of reality, such as the smallest fragment of the microworld, we gain, in a practically magical way, access to the whole. Schrödinger writes, "This life of yours, which you are living, is not merely a piece of the entire existence, but is, in a certain sense, the whole. Only this whole is not so constituted that it can be surveyed in one single glance." Heidegger offered an analogy to describe the wholeness of truth, comparing truth to a drinking glass. As you turn the glass in order to see one aspect, you necessarily conceal another aspect. You can never see the whole glass, although it's all there in whatever aspect you see. It's as if the whole is unfolded within each of its parts, or to say the same thing differently, each part is an expression of the whole. Each of the particular aspects contains a distinct perspective on the whole, while each part contains the whole. William Blake's Auguries of Innocence comes to mind. "To see a world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour."